darkness, shattered by light. I've seen joy break after the night. I wanna see it again. I've seen tragic and hopeless days turn to stories of amazing grace.
truly do remember all the great things you have done, and we do believe that greater things are still to come. Good morning, my Blog Talk listeners and Running for Christ Ministries family. It is Saturday. It's time to go to school. Let's open in prayer. Father, right now we thank you because you have shown us and revealed to us all of the amazing, wonderful things you've done from creation, even up until today. And it gives us hope knowing that greater things are still to come. So right now, Father, as we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we want to see the hopeful things that you have embedded in this, the promises that you have given us that are fulfilled in Jesus. We thank you. We praise you for it. In his name we pray. Amen. Morning, people.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. My apologies up front to my two mothers that I did not get in paper delivery this week. I know they'll forgive me. Got a little busy and got the week got away from me. But you should be able to follow along because we're going to be looking at some passages of scripture today. Hope you have your sheet. We have looked at the death of Jesus from at least four different angles other than the one that we are constantly focused on, our forgiveness of our sins. And now we are moving to the resurrection. So your paper should say the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the day, the women, and the way. If with that, someone read our key verse for me, please.
But Christ has indeed. Oh, please go instead of me. No, I prefer if you go.
No. Here we go. Well, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians 15:20.
All right. Thank you very much, Deacon. So Christ, but, I like that, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. For those who are listening that don't have a sheet, we're going to be reading the four gospel accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to read just the partial. We're not going to read all of it when we get to Luke and different things. We're going to focus on some key elements here. But the first question I have for you is, what do you think? I want to hear what you think is significant about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is no right or wrong answer. This is just what you think.
His obedience to the Father.
Okay.
I think it's proof that he ain't dead.
All right. I feel that it's fulfilling what we were promised, that we would receive the Messiah.
And I think it shows the generosity of the Lord.
All right. Anybody else? I'm over here struggling trying to find a piece of paper. I have to write myself a note. All right. So the reason I ask that question, in education, we start out with what people know. Then we go to what we want to learn, and then finally at the end we should know what you have learned when you listen. They call it the KWL principle. So when I know what you know, it helps me make sure that now we're going to find out what we want to know about it. So okay. The next question I ask is, did Jesus ever say he would be resurrected? We got two scripture references here, Matthew 16:21 and Matthew 20:17-19. So my readers, if you would, somebody take 16:21, and then we'll go together over to 20:17-19.
Says, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. Amen?
Right. And chapter 20, verses 17 through 19.
It reads as follows. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Amen.
Amen.
So can we answer that question with an emphatic yes? That Jesus did? Yes. More than once, he gave them the details. He would be killed, handed over to the elders, killed, and on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. So we know that Jesus gave his disciples a heads up, if you would, that he would be resurrected. So let's ask this question next. Where else in Scripture does it refer to the bodily resurrection of Jesus? I didn't give you the Scriptures because I love discovery. So let's go to Psalm chapter 16. And somebody read verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 16.
Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. Amen.
All right. So here we have the psalmist. This psalm is attributed to David. And David writes that because my body will also rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Where is David now? David's body?
In the grave.
In the grave. David was buried with his ancestors. His body's in the grave. So by now, is his body decayed?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We would hope by this over 2,000 years later, well over 2,000 years later. So we know that even though David is saying this, is David writing this about himself?
No, it's a prophecy of the coming Messiah.
It's a prophecy, because look at the words. He said, you will not let who? Your what?
Your faithful one.
Your faithful one, or in some other translation it says your?
Holy one.
Holy one. And it's in all caps, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So now I got to give you a little culture lesson. In Jewish tradition, when they bury someone, this is something that I've just learned recently, and I've always got it wrong. When they wrap Jesus in spices, and then they were going back to add more, they weren't wrapping his body to preserve his body. They were wrapping his body in spices that would cause his body to decay quickly. Because within 30 to 90 days of your death, your body, without embalming or anything to aid its preservation, will naturally decay. Especially in Jewish tradition, they believe that after 3 days, your body would definitely be decayed. Remember Lazarus at the tomb?
Mm-hmm.
He had been dead how many days?
Three
days.
Lazarus. Remember Lazarus, how many days had he been dead?
Four days.
And what did they say when they wanted to roll the stone back?
Surely Jesus was going to be decayed. And
So he's going to stink. It's going to be a smell there because of the spices that they would wrap the body in to hasten decay, finishing the Jewish tradition of burial. So when they would bury them, they would decay, and then a year later they would come back to the tomb, take out their bones, break them up and put them in smaller containers because most people would be either buried in some type of family crypt if they weren't buried in the ground or if they weren't buried at all. They went someplace else, but we're not going to talk about that place. So decay would start happening because of the treatment. But here the psalmist says that you will not allow your Holy One to see decay. Let's see where that's quoted in the New Testament. Go to Acts chapter 13, and somebody read for us verses 32 through 37.
And we ourselves proclaim to you the good news of the promise that was made to our ancestors. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm. You are my son. Today I have become your father. As to his raising him from the dead, never to return to decay, he has spoken in this way. I will give you the holy and sure promises of David. Therefore, he always says in another passage, you will not let your Holy One see decay. For David, after serving God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and decayed. But the one God raised up did not decay.
All right. So we see in the book of Acts, this is Paul speaking. He quotes from Psalm 16. And he tells us that the one who did not decay is who?
Jesus.
All right. So that meant Jesus was what?
The Holy One.
Okay. He's the Holy One. And he was the Holy One that was what from the dead?
Resurrected.
Yes.
From the dead.
All right. So now let's go forward and let's take a look at. I set this up because again, I'm trying to know what you know, and to understand that resurrection isn't something that we just pulled out of the air. The scripture talks about it prior to. So let's get us. We got our foundation built. Let's go to the four accounts of the resurrection. First, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 28. And somebody read verses 1 through 10.
Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Do not be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. And put all the way to 10?
Yes. All right.
The women went.
You're good. Right there.
Okay. That wasn't 10.
Now, that wasn't?
No.
Go ahead. Finish. No. Okay. I'm sorry.
The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Amen.
Thank you. You caught me in the middle of writing a note. All right. Okay. So now we have our account in Matthew. Keep in mind some of the details, if you would. If you need to jot some things down, go ahead and jot them down, because we're going to look for three things that are in common in each one of these readings. So now we're going to go to Mark. Mark chapter 16, and somebody read verses 1 through 8.
Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look. This is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. Amen.
Amen. All right, amen. Again, similar accounting. Some things here that were said in the previous one. Let's go to Luke chapter 24 and verses 1 through 12.
But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed there to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you." Hold on, my page is stuck together. Oh. Okay. I don't know.
You want to
remember what he told you? Okay. Back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. When they remember that he had said this, they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. The story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw that it was empty. Linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Amen.
All right. And lastly, let's go to John chapter 20 and verses 1 through 18.
Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed that the linen wrapping lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angel asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Mary said, "Jesus, Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find your brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them this message. 1-18?
Yes. Thank you. All right. So now we've read all four gospel accounts of the resurrection. And immediately we have something that all four have in common. N.T. Wright says that when we read the Gospels, we need to understand it's like we kind of emphasize the ones we like, the ones we're most familiar with when we in our thinking. But it's kind of like listening, when you listen or read all four of them, it's like listening to a symphony orchestra. Each Gospel kind of represents a section of the orchestra where you get some instruments. You might get your strings, you might get your brass, you might get your winds, and then you got your percussion. So each one of them has their own part to play, but when you put them all together, you get this beautiful sound. So that's what we're about to do, is we're about to put all four Gospels together to see a beautiful picture of the resurrection a little differently. What's the very first thing that all four Gospels tell us about the resurrection?
That they were, that Jesus told them that it was going to happen.
Oh, I need you, this is when you got to pay attention to the text. What if all four of them start at the same way?
On the first day of the week,
on
it was Sunday.
First day of the week, all four tell us that it was the first day of the week. So letter A is the first day. This is going to be important. Okay, I tell you, we're building. We're going to, it's like that orchestra. We're starting out, we're going to build a crescendo, and hopefully when you see the picture that's going to be made here, you're going to go, wow. All right?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that all four of them tell us.
That it was early in the morning before the sun came up?
Nope. We threw with the day. Let's move on. It's something else to Nick. Something else it moves to. Loretta kind of got ahead of herself because she got the third thing. But the second thing, all four of them tell us.
The women went to look.
Yes.
The women. All four of them tell us. They either say Mary or Mary Magdalene, or they give the
mm-hmm.
whole group, Mary, Mary Magdalene, Joanna. They give us, so we got the women. That's the second thing all four of them tell us.
Okay.
All right. And finally, what is the third thing all four of them tell us?
The angel of the Lord was present.
There were angels present, or messengers, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we can easily answer our questions. We've already built
mm-hmm.
questions 1, 2, and 3. When
okay.
does the resurrection take place?
Sunday.
The first day of the work
first
of the week.
Day.
On the
yep,
first
Sunday.
Day of the week, which we call Sunday. Yep. On the first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What is the, and now the next question, who were the first people to receive the good news?
Women.
The women.
The women. And question number 3,
mm-hmm.
how was the good news delivered?
Through
a messenger.
Through messengers, or angels, as we call them.
Okay.
All right. So
mm-hmm.
that's it. That's the only easy part of the test from here on out. The rest of it,
okay.
we're going to have to put on our biblical eyeglasses to really see. All right, but the
okay.
beautiful part is all four Gospels give us these details,
mm-hmm.
which means these are important details. These details are significant, that the day, the we know, yes, the significance of the third day, the people who were the first ones to receive the message being women. And that
mm-hmm.
the angels were the one who delivered the message. So already your biblical mind, your biblical Rolodex should be flipping around,
it
trying
is.
To say, okay, what's going on? What's going on? So, let's get to what is significant about the day. What
mm-hmm.
day was it?
First day of the week.
Sunday.
It was Sunday.
The first day of the week. We say Sunday. All right, let's go to which gospel do I want to look at? Give us. Go to Mark 16, and let's look at Mark 16 and read the first few words of Mark 16 before you get to Mary Magdalene's name.
When the Sabbath was over.
Okay. So, the Sabbath. We know the Sabbath runs from, the Jewish day runs from evening to morning. So, from
mm-hmm.
like 6 p.m. in the evening to 6 a.m. is the start. The start of the day, and it goes to the end of the day, 12-hour day. So
mm-hmm.
the Sabbath is over. What's
mm-hmm.
significant about the Sabbath?
It's a day of rest.
Day of rest. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And somebody read verses 2 and 3 of Genesis chapter 2.
What verse, Jen?
5. Oh.
Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3.
On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was a day when he rested from all his work of creation.
Okay, thank you. Now, what does it say there about the Sabbath? God did what?
Yes.
He rested.
He blessed it.
He set it apart. He made it holy. Why did he
mm-hmm.
set it apart? What what, so I asked the question, did he rest because he was tired?
No.
Why did he rest?
He rested because he had finished creation.
Right.
Oh, so he was finished.
Yeah, he was done. Yeah.
He was done.
He was looking at all his marvelous work.
So all of creation, all the creating that God was going to do was done on that day, was done by that day, right?
Yeah.
This is something, this is just a sidebar that I found interesting in a book I'm reading. Go to Genesis chapter, let's go look at the days that preceded the Sabbath, the day that God rested and it was finished. And let's look at something that's different about the seventh day. Go to Genesis chapter 1 and somebody read verse 5.
God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and there was morning the first day.
Okay.
Okay. Sister Rebecca, go down to verse 8 and read verse 8.
God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day.
Verse 13.
And there was evening and there was morning the third day.
Okay. Verse 19.
And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day.
Verse 23.
And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day.
And finally, verse 31.
Saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day.
All right. Now, we see days 1 through 6. There was what?
Morning.
Evening and morning.
Evening and morning.
Evening and morning. But look at the seventh day.
He rested.
Is there evening and morning?
No. It doesn't,
no.
Doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that about the seventh day. The writer that I was reading said it's because the Sabbath is an unending day.
What?
It's perpetual. The Sabbath doesn't end. God is rested, done, creating. There's no more work to be done. So if he finished, what day did Jesus resurrect, though?
The third day.
Which was what
Sunday?
Day of the week?
It was
the first day of the week.
The first day of the week. Yeah.
After the Sabbath, after the rest, Jesus resurrected. I know y'all are going, what does this have to do with the resurrection? The work is done. Then he gets up. What did Jesus say on the cross? Three words. We know it because we hear it every
finished.
It is finished. The work was done. Redemption's work was done. So as we enter into an unending Sabbath, we also enter into unending redemption.
Amen.
That's your showed for the week. It'll hit some people. It'll hit you differently.
So
the first day of the week symbolizes something new.
Yes.
A new beginning. Mm. No more work to be done for the redemption of mankind to restore all things back to the way they were. The work has been completed in God's eyes. All right. Now that your wigs are thoroughly blown, let's get into something else. Next question, 5. What is significant about the first recipients of the good news? Who were they?
All
women.
Why the women? Now, I know we've heard some stories about because the men were scared, bless their heart, and it's okay. But why the women?
The upside down kingdom?
Well, when you want to figure out something, you got to go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2.
Okay.
Genesis chapter 3. Let's start there. And then I'm going to come back to chapter 2. Genesis chapter 3. Verses 1 through 6.
The serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of these trees in the garden?
Mm-hmm.
Of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's the only fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat, God said. You must not eat of it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. How far do you want me to read?
Verse 6.
You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now, who did the serpent go to?
The woman.
The woman. Who was the first to rebel in the garden?
The woman.
The woman.
The woman. Mm-hmm. Who were the first people to receive the good news?
The women.
The women.
Let's keep going. There's some more deeper stuff here. All right? Let's go back to John chapter 20. I want you to see the full picture because this is going to bless a lot of us, especially us women, but both male and female. It's going to bless if we see something. John chapter 20, we remember in the garden there was the encounter. Verses 10 through 16 between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. All right. Look at verse 13 and somebody read verse 13 and then drop down and read verse 15.
They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him."
And then 15, read verse 15. Mm-hmm.
"Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is this that you're seeking?" "Supposing he was the gardener," she replied, "sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away."
Okay. So the first time, verse 13, we have the two messengers. And what do they address Mary Magdalene as?
Woman.
And then she encounters Jesus. And what does he first address her as?
Woman.
Woman. Didn't he know who she was?
Yeah.
Didn't the messengers know who she was?
Yes.
Why did they address her as woman? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Remember, verses 20 through 23.
Go back to where, Jan?
Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 through 23.
He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the animals, but still there was no helper to be right for him. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, "This is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man."
All
Amen.
Right. So now, remember we said who was the first to rebel in the garden?
The woman.
How was she, Mary Magdalene, addressed by the angels and Jesus?
Woman.
So when God created woman, that suitable helper, that Ezra Connecto, that woman who was of the same essence as man, equal to man, but also the helper who would be like God, like help. The two places it's used is to be like God, help from God, and the other one is to be help from an elite military force. So that's what woman was created to do. But she first rebelled, and in her rebellion, and in also the male rebellion, there was enmity between, read verse 3:15, just read the verse of Genesis.
"And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we know that famous redemptive verse, that it is going to be the seed of the woman who crushes the enemy of mankind, who crushes the serpent's head. But also, because of the rebellion, there was enmity between God and man, between man and woman, between creation and man. But now when Jesus resurrects, he goes to the women because he's restoring the relationship between God and man. It's been restored, but he's showing that the relationship between man and woman, between the woman's seed and him and the woman, are now restored. And it's amazing, if you look at John 20, and so you don't think I'm crazy, when you look at John 20 and you read verse 15, who did Mary Magdalene think he was?
The gardener,
which means he would have been in a what?
A garden.
So the fall took place in the garden. The restoration also took place of woman in a garden. So it was more than just the women seeing him. It's bigger. It's redemption that's taking place. The resurrection is showing that everything has been made new. First fruit, first day, first fruit. Everything's been made new. All right. Y'all tracking with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into the next part. Question 6. What is significance about the deliverance of the good news? Who delivered the good news?
The messengers.
The women did.
They were second. We won't get to that.
The messengers.
We call them angels. But the messengers, because that's what they are. They're ministering spirits, as the book of Hebrews tells us. They do the will of God. So he sent messengers. Uh-huh. All right. Where else have we seen God send messengers with good news?
When he announced that John was going to be born and Jesus.
All right. So back in the book of Luke, right? We got the messengers came to first to Mary to tell her that she was going to have a child. And then, well, before that, to John's father, Zechariah, to tell mm-hmm. him that they were, he was going to be a father, and then to Mary to tell her she was going to bear the Messiah, and then even we get mm-hmm. it later on reading of Joseph, the messenger was sent to him. All right, and then when the Messiah was born, when Jesus was born, who showed up to tell the shepherds?
Oh, these angels.
The angels.
These messengers came in to bring good news. I bring you euangelion. All right, so we see that. We know in the Old Testament you have angels show up. You have the angel of the Lord himself show up
uh-huh.
in several places. But one in an encounter with Abraham. Should we tell Abraham what we're about to do down there in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Uh-huh.
You have a visitation there. You have you have many angelic visitations. But
uh-huh.
I'm looking at this specifically. Which one of these passages do I want to hurry up and not do injustice with? Go to Luke chapter 24. Let's do Luke. They all get similar. Okay, we know it says on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices, they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found that the stone rolled away. We know in John he says that they were talking about, oops, we forgot, there's a big stone. And it's also
mm-hmm.
got a seal on it. So how are we going to get in the tomb?
Mm-hmm.
But when they got there, it was rolled away. Let me ask you this
mm-hmm.
question. Was the stone rolled away so Jesus could get out?
No.
No.
How do we know that?
Because he is resurrected and he could pass through time and space.
All right. Good Bible student. Amen. Amen, Mother Marilyn. Yes. Because he's in his resurrected body. He could transcend. He could go through walls and appear and disappear. All right. So we know that it wasn't rolled away so he could get out. Why was the stone rolled away then?
So that they could get in.
It was rolled away so they could come in. And when they got in, they received, or look in, they saw that he was gone, evidence, but also they got good news. So,
mm-hmm.
but notice the appearance that it said their clothes were like lightning stood before,
mm-hmm.
gleam white, and in their fright, the women bowed down, and they were frightened. And
mm-hmm.
so in my reading, I'm getting an image of somewhere else where there were angels. Appearance is kind of frightening. Usually it is in Scripture. Go back to Genesis chapter 3 where we're going to finish up. And somebody read verse 24.
After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life.
Mm.
So, in the garden, the place where God built for mankind to dwell, where they met with God, when they
mm-hmm.
rebelled against God, they were banished from that place. But remember when we went over this passage about the fall,
mm-hmm.
think often that it was partially to prevent them from eating from the tree of life and remaining in an unredeemable state forever. They would live
mm-hmm.
forever fallen. But also, the cherubim were placed there to keep, it says, to guard the way. Guards form two different things. Yes, part to keep out, but also to let in.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
boy.
So here at the tomb, it wasn't opened so Jesus could come out. It was open so that we could come in.
Amen.
Amen. That
uh-huh.
is good.
Yes, that is.
Because now, the way of life, the tree of life is now through who?
Jesus.
Jesus. Thus our lesson starts with the day, the women, and the way. The way is
mm-hmm.
now open. So the resurrection, I know we on the third day Jesus rose, you know, and we're going to talk about that, the proof of the bodily resurrection and what that means to us as we're going forward. But again, I just need us to start looking at things that we kind of get comfortable in and mm-hmm. get in the routines of saying. Again, we know what, but do we know why? The Bible is a story, God's
mm-hmm.
story, and its themes throughout the Bible and their connections that we don't make because we isolate events without seeing that God was doing something from Genesis to Revelation. He's telling
mm-hmm.
us a story, and we need to learn how to flesh that story out because in it is the true, fuller good news of what God is doing. So I ask you the
mm-hmm.
last question. What is significant about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And this is the answer that I put. To show God's redemptive plan was complete. To show God's redemptive plan was complete.
Okay.
So now we have relationship restored between God and man, between man and woman, and between creation and man. Because the story fell apart in a garden, but it came back together in a garden.
Okay.
And then just a little highlight. In a garden of life in the beginning, and in a garden where death was defeated in the end.
Amen.
Oh, say that one
right.
more time.
I say it was, oh goodness, in a garden where life began and in a garden where death was defeated and life begins again.
Amen.
So that's that first day of the week. It's a new beginning. We'll get
Amen.
Deeper into that as we go forward about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all, my good students. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this love letter you have given us. That's so encompassing to show us that you care just more than about our sins and but you care about relationship, right relationship with you, right relationship with one another, right relationship with your creation. So, Father, help us to realize that's the essence of shalom, of peace that you have for us this day. As we go forward, continue to reveal yourself throughout this service. And you'll be praised, glorified, and honored in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Hey, hi, Sister Janet and everybody.
Hey.
We just thank you. Thank you for another good and great lesson. You know, we appreciate you. And just have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. You know, get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, and your crumpets. And after this selection, we're going to start our morning worship service. Amen.
Together. Our Father, all of heaven, rose your name. Sing louder. Death is placed, he rose with faith. Can you
Good morning. Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to our listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And you know, it is Youth Saturday, and on the 4th and 5th Saturday of each month, we acknowledge our youth and give them the opportunity to serve and to participate in our morning worship service. And we have this morning to do our proclamation, scripture, and prayer is our very own Harley and Hunter McClendon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I will be reading why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King, pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh to fulfillment of God's promise to David, died for the sin to according with the scripture, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the living Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his war, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Do not worry, Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what your body wears. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow to or reap or store anyway in barns. And yet your heavenly Father sees to them or not. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or yet I tell you that not even Solomon and all his soldiers were dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which tomorrow go into the fire will he not much more clothe you, a little fish?
Faith.
Some do not really say what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear. For the pagans were after all these things, and your heavenly Father know that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. As we go, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, and for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen.
Prayer.
Die.
Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with our Holy Spirit everyone who participate in the worship, survive now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, praise, and the preach were loved, Jesus, so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you will heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Survivor Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and worthful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Princess Harley. That was beautiful. Very good job. Thank you. We appreciate you. And have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now that we have acknowledged our ways into the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen, amen. You know, I'm always listening to new music with Jesus, and on this week, my wife had me to listen to some music while we were up in Mackinac by Anthony Evans, which you'll be hearing later. But right after Anthony Evans came on, this song came on. And it's by a guy named Calvin Noel. And I think it speaks to all of us, whether we are 2 years old or 100 years old. I think this song will bless all of us. And I think it'll speak to us. Okay, let's worship.
Okay.
an empty vessel, if not for grace, where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you for grace. like you. Situations and these circumstances that we find ourselves in.
so God can minister to us for real. When will we tell the Lord about us and stop telling him about everybody else? When will we speak to God about us versus somebody else to let God know it's me? Old folks sung a song like this when I was coming up in First Baptist Church. They would say, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. That's what God wants. Now, after, amen, let's listen to this new song. It's by Anthony Evans. Amen. You know it's what he's gone through. His mom just went home to heaven not too long ago, and this song was born out of that, and it's entitled Even If.
Being honest, this is the hardest song my heart will sing. My words are broken, my dream is stolen. How do I say what I don't think? You don't owe me anything, but in my darkness, you still. ahead and say you're good to me.
Pastor, oh, those were some absolutely beautiful, beautiful songs. And we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Amen. Which takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Finally, selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own teacher of our little people and youth, Sister Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive her. Pray to the Lord.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
I'm hanging on by a thread, and all I'm clinging to is prayers. And every breath is like a battle, I feel like I ain't come prepared. And death's knocking on the front door, pain's creeping through the back. Fear's falling through the windows, waiting for them to attack. They say don't get bitter, get better, I'm working on switching them letters. But tell God I'ma need a whole lot of hope keeping it together. I'm smiling in everyone's face, I'm crying whenever they leave the room. They don't know the battle I face. They don't understand what I'm going through. The world trying to play with my soul. I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on.
They say fear haunts and pain hates. I say pain strengthens and fear drives faith. And I don't know all of the outcomes. Don't know what happens tomorrow. But when that ocean of doubt comes, don't let me drown in my sorrow. And don't let me stay at the bottom. I feel like this hole is too deep to climb. I've been looking for a way out, but I settled for a peace of mind. Picking up the pieces of my life and hoping that I put together something right. Tell me all I got is all I need. Tell me you gon' help me stay and fight.
The world tryna play with my soul. I'm just tryna find where to go. I'm tryna remember the way. I'm tryna get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
No, don't let the fear make you feel.
Allowing us to sit at your feet, and thank you for the ever-present help that you provide for us in a
a time of turmoil and troubles and trials and tribulations is what we see, Lord, and allow us to see them as what you see, Lord, and you see them as strengthening for our faith. Thank you for the birds and the air and the trees, Lord. Thank you for the children that run and laugh, Lord, and remind us of what it is to be like to a child, Lord. Thank you for providing us with your will and your way and your understanding through your word. And we ask that you just help us gird up our loins as we continue to put up the fight that you want us to put up on a daily basis. Allow us to teach our children and our grandchildren and our nephews and our nieces and all the children that we run into about the greatness of your almighty name and your almighty power, Lord. And we thank you for being El Shaddai and being El Donai, Lord. And we thank you for being Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Nisi and all of those different manifestations to prove to us that you're almighty. Thank you for the heavens and for the earth, Lord. And thank you for providing for us through the heavens. And we ask that you continue to make us see you as you are in so many different revelations and manifestations, Lord. And we thank you again for just giving us your son to be able to even thank you in person. Thank you for the sacrifice that you gave, Lord, and allow us to see through you what sacrifice truly is. We ask that you submit our ways to you, Lord, and you align ourselves with you, Lord, and that you just continue to move in our lives so that we only can depend on you completely and depend on the Holy Spirit for the guidance from you. Thank you for placing the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we do have a continual remembrance, Lord, and allow us to build through the Holy Spirit what it is that you want us to have. We thank you for all the grace that is given to us as we continue to have this spiritual warfare, Lord, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit himself to continue to have our back whenever we need it. Lord, allow us to tap in even more and even more and even more so that we understand at any given point that you are there. Lord, bless the communities that poverty, Lord, and we ask that when children experience poverty, Lord, that you give them something extra to hold on to. Show up a little bit earlier, Lord. Allow them to see you a little bit earlier, Lord, and allow them to feel you a little bit earlier, Lord. Allow their senses to be aligned with yours so that they know that one day a Savior is coming to take them away from everything that they think might be the worst of situations, Lord. Allow them to build resilience and restoration at the same time so that you are able to come in and to support and remind them that you are there, Lord. And while you're governing and comforting those children, Lord, allow those parents and those grandparents and those families that do experience poverty to understand your mighty power. Provide for them in ways that nobody knows, Lord, that only they can say that you did. While you're doing that, Lord, bless our nation, Lord, and let us understand that these are things that you have already said that are going to happen, so understand your sovereignty in a space. Thank you for the people that rule over us, Lord, but give them wisdom and discernment and guidance and allow the Holy Spirit to be illuminated within the United States of America and every country that touches within. Lord, thank you again for just being amazing and a way maker and all of those things that you tell us in your word, Lord, and allow us to continue to dig into the truth as a church home, as a ministry, Lord, and anybody that's not attached, Lord, allow them to seek your face, literally. Allow them to walk in godliness, Lord, and allow them to understand that the Lord only wants what's best for them, Lord, even if they don't feel like it's happening right now. Thank you again for all the love that you portray and allow your love to be illuminated in the earth. Open hearts, Lord, open minds, and save souls through us, Lord. Heal the sick, Lord. Raise the grief, Lord. Extinguish the sorrow, Lord. Allow people that have lost believers to understand where they are. Extinguish the fear, Lord. Extinguish the heartache, Lord, and thank you again for everything that you've provided on a daily basis that we don't even see, that we need, essentially. Again, bless the preacher as she brings a word only from you, Lord, and we ask that you bless everyone that participated in the services, both in the front and in the back, Lord, and continue to bless the listeners, Lord, so that they continue to earnestly seek you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.
Amen. And now it's time.
Amen. Well, I thought the music was going, amen, amen, thank you. Power, power, power in prayer. Thank you, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, for praying and making our request known to the Lord. Have a beautiful day. Appreciate you. Okay. You know, so far we've been having a great time this morning. I'm truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. And with more to come, I just want to say thank you. First, I want to say thank you for the princesses Harley McClendon and Hunter McClendon. They did a wonderful job this morning. We really appreciate our youth. And, you know, we want to just continue to keep our youth lifted up in prayer all over this beautiful world. We need you to survive. Thank you for the youth. Yes, and I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, to be a blessing to others, and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. This is the best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is First Fruit Ministries, Minister LaShelle Anderson from Word of Faith Ministries. So let's prepare to receive Minister LaShelle Anderson as she come in her own way with the word from the Lord. Let's receive her. Amen.
this reason, for this purpose, God said, you have my mind and you have my heart.
You held me for long.
I won't resist you.
No, I won't resist you.
I don't want to
greetings and happy Saturday, Pastor Overall, Sister Sheila, and the Runner for Christ family. Good day to you all in the Lord. It is an honor and my privilege to speak the word of God into your hearts this day. I do not take this assignment lightly, and I'm very humbled to be even on your calendar. All glory be to God. Amen. Thank you again for inviting me. Let's go to the throne. Heavenly Father, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you all the glory, praise, and honor due your name. We welcome the Holy Spirit to have his way during this service. All of you and none of me, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, and we all say, amen. Well, I'm just going to put a little disclaimer out there that all scriptures for this message come from the King James Version. Hallelujah. I recently heard the tail end of a radio broadcast interview with a lady from another country. She stated that she'd heard so many wonderful things about America, she couldn't wait to come. Where she came from, she couldn't leave the house without being accompanied by a male, be it her brother, father, uncle, or her husband. She couldn't make any decisions. Most days were spent at home cooking, cleaning, sewing, and waiting for the men to return home so they could eat whatever food the men brought from the market. Sometimes the men wouldn't come home, and as women, they couldn't leave. So when she arrived in America, she asked everyone, what does freedom mean to you? She said no one could answer her. She couldn't believe that Americans couldn't give her an answer. She said that to her, freedom meant, I have a choice. Isn't it amazing that someone from another country sums up freedom so well? God told us what type of choices we should make. In Deuteronomy 30:19, it reads, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So in the Old Testament, God stressed the importance of choosing life. And in the New Testament, we know Jesus says in John 10:10, part B, I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So both the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God has stressed the importance of choosing life. It's a choice given to both men and women. Now, in that scripture, Deuteronomy 30 and 19, it says, I set before you. Now, do you picture sitting at a table with a meal being set before you? But he's saying, at this table I set before you, life or death. You make the choice. I set before you blessings or cursings. And he outlines the blessings in the prior chapter, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. And then he outlines the cursings in Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68. Now, in the Old Testament, blessings and cursings were based on obedience and disobedience, which means it was performance-based, right? Not based on choices. So if choosing life is so important, let's define it. Life is defined in the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary as a living being, enjoyment of blessings of the present life, eternal happiness in heaven. So life is a twofold benefit. You'll be blessed in the earth and in heaven. Hallelujah. Now, how does one choose life? Well, I'm glad you asked. According to the Bible, John 14, 6 says, Jesus is speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we must choose Jesus to choose life. Amen. But after we have chosen him, we have a daily walk to choose life. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And this scripture is telling us as long as there's earth, and there's earth, right? Right while we're speaking, there's an earth. Seeds will be planted and over time will produce a harvest. Cold and heat will continue. Summer and winter will continue. Day and night won't stop as long as the earth is here. For the purpose of this message, we will address seed time and harvest as how one makes a choice for daily choosing life or death, blessing or cursing. Each choice you make is sowing a seed, and over time, it will harvest blessings of life or cursings of death. I'm going to repeat that. Each choice you make is sowing a seed, and over time, it will harvest blessings of life or cursings of death. The title of today's message is, You Have a Choice, Choose Life. Glory, hallelujah. When I was growing up, we were told when facing a decision, look at the pros and cons. They would advise us to get a piece of paper, fold it in half, and write on one side pros and on the other side cons. Pros represented a positive outcome, and the cons represented a negative outcome. So I'm going to ask all of you, if you don't already, get a piece of paper and a pen or pencil and put it to the side, and we'll address that in a little bit. For those who live in America, many of us make our choices based on our feelings, experiences, or the way we were raised. Choices are, in reality, seeds sown towards choosing life or death. A person doesn't wake up a thief. He or she gets away with it, and they keep sowing seeds of stealing until it harvests. And they can't even see themselves doing anything else, such as getting a job or working a 9-to-5. They've sowed seeds towards becoming a thief. They've sowed seeds that harvested towards death or cursing. A person who lies, they lie so much they believe their lies are the truth. Have you ever been around a person who curses? And they curse so much, it's a part of their vocabulary. They don't even consider it cursing. They're just telling you something. They're just talking, right? What choices or seeds are you sowing? Ooh, I can't stand my boss. He get on my nerves. Pastor O not speaking today, so I'm not going to church. I don't feel like a woman. I think I should be a man. I stay after work every day so I can talk to my sexy coworker. You're sowing seeds towards something. Are they life or death? Selah, pause and think on that. Now, do you have your piece of paper and your pen? Fold it in half. Write life on one side and death on the other. We're going to go to our biblical examples. The first one is one who chose life. I'm going to the of Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. That means he was short. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The word of the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to bullet point the story, and you're going to mark on your piece of paper if they chose life or if they chose death. Okay, so Zacchaeus was a chief Jewish tax collector for the Romans at Jericho. We're going to say that that is death because the tax collectors did wrong to the people. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus when he came to the city. So that was choosing a decision of life. So we're going to put that in the life category. He had to climb a tree to get a glimpse of Jesus through the crowd. Now, I'm going to say that that's life because he was being persistent. He was seeking after Jesus. Jesus looked up and bid Zacchaeus to host him at his house. We're going to say he was choosing life. After the encounter with Jesus, he became a new man. He received salvation. Glory to God. So we're going to put that in the life column. He vowed to repay the poor and all those he defrauded. He chose life. Amen. Jesus told the crowd that salvation had come to a son of Abraham and his household that day, and he reminded the self-righteous crowd that his mission was to seek and save that which was lost. Now, I want you all to note that Zacchaeus is choices of life brought salvation and restoration to him and to his seed, just like Deuteronomy 30:19 stated, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. And he did just that. Glory to God. All right, we're going to go to our next biblical story of someone who chose death. We're going to the book of Hosea, H-O-S-E-A. And since there are 14 chapters, I'm going to summarize or bullet point the story, and you're going to write down if this person chose life or death. Okay? So the first point, there was a Hebrew prophet, Hosea, told by God to marry a prostitute, and he chose Gomer. Now, we're going to put that in the life category because he was obedient to God, okay? Gomer repeatedly and openly committed adultery. She was choosing death. Put that in the death category. She gave birth to 3 children. The Lord gave names symbolizing displeasure with Israel. I'm going to put that in the death category. You can choose, because she gave birth, that means life, but we can address that another time. Praise the Lord. Gomer left her family. She chose death. She went prostituting herself with any man who had money to spend. She chose death again. She sold herself into slavery as a mistress. Chose death again. God told Hosea to bring Gomer home. Oh my goodness, that's life. That is life. Hosea discovered Gomer, weak and ill. He purchased her back and accepted her as his wife. He chose life. I chose the story of Gomer because although she continued to make choices, sowed seeds towards death or cursing, God still had mercy on her and led Hosea, her husband, to have mercy on her as well. He kept representing life to her despite her choosing death. As an illustration of God's promise to love Israel back to faithfulness, Hosea and Gomer's reconciliation was marked not by judgment, but by love. We are to do the same. We are to keep representing God to our wayward loved ones, unbelievers, and doubters, just as Hosea did, just as God did for you and I. You have a choice. Choose life. I feel led to sing this song. I'm just going to do the first couple of lines, and I pray I'm on key. Hallelujah. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. In conclusion, I want you all to close your eyes and think, have I been sowing seeds of death, making choices that are cursing me? Am I forsaking my own freedom, choosing to walk in unforgiveness with a sibling or a family member, not honoring a spouse? Are you waking up angry every day and you don't even know why anymore? Do you have the means to help someone that you know needs help, but you just don't want to? God is a gentleman. He won't make you choose life. He set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and every decision or choice you make daily is sowing seeds towards life or death. You have a choice. Choose life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, family, that ends this week's message, but I can't close out without giving you an opportunity to choose life, to choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As a minister Our assignment is to share the good news so the hearer will make a choice to choose life. You choose life, the blessings on earth, and eternal happiness in heaven by receiving God's Son, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior. You've heard the message today. Are you ready to make the choice of life today? Romans 10 and 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If that's you, repeat after me. Lord, I don't want to live in darkness. Open my eyes so I can live the abundant life you sent Jesus for me to have. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for the way I've lived. Take all my sins, past, present, and future. I want to receive your Son, Jesus, as my Lord. I want to receive life here on earth and in your eternal kingdom. Come into my heart now. I confess Jesus as my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you hear that bell? That's just for you, those who receive Jesus for the first time. Glory to God. Well, family, I'm grateful to have joined you and spoke the word of life to you today. I pray it was a blessing and that you have a blessed week. If you'd like to reach out to me or find out more about my ministry at First Fruits Living Ministries, you can reach me at freeluncheandprayer.org. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My Redeemer, sent to a rugged cross. My Savior, bear my sins. My replacement took my place. My provider, now I have. Come on, my Redeemer, sent to a rugged cross. My Savior, bear my sin. My replacement took my place. My provider, now I have. Just the knowing. From the dead,
so I could rise again.
Awesome ruler,
crucified, just to
hope,
hope
of glory.
One day I will get to see.
I am grateful. He loved me enough.
He loved me enough to gladly take my place.
Just to know him.
Just to know.
Woo!
Just to know.
to know it.
I like that song so much. To know him, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. It doesn't say Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It says Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. That means he is alive and he is well. And Jesus is seated on the right hand of his Father, interceding for us constantly. Alive, the Living God. Oh my gosh. I've heard that song a million times, and that never stood out to me until just right now. And it had to be because of Minister Shelley's message that spoke about choosing life. We get options. God is a gentleman, like she said. He is not going to force himself. I stand at the door and knock. He stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't come and say, you know what, I need to be all up in here. I'm about to kick this door down and get all up in that. Nope. He stands at the door and knocks, and he waits for you to choose to come and open the door and let him in. Amen. So don't let Jesus just be standing at the door and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. Open the door and let him in. Choose him. Choose life. Amen. In him, you will move and live and have your being. Amen. It doesn't mean that life isn't hard, life won't be hard, that things won't happen. But if God is in the midst of everything you got going on, you're going to have life. Amen. So that was just a wonderful message. It was a beautiful message. It was short, sweet, and to the point. But we got some low-key black coffee today, y'all. With so many things going on in the world, so many distractions, especially with our young people. You know, those of us who are got a little seasoning on us, and those of us who look cooked more than others, you know, we understand consequences of choice. We understand when we don't make the right decisions, the consequences that we have to deal with. And some are hard, some are not so hard, God's grace is sufficient for all of us, and he literally does not let us go through anything that we can't get through with him. Amen. So when you're talking about young people and our youth and our young adults, they are faced with so much on a daily basis, just trying to make the right choices, just trying to do what their parents are telling them to do, trying to maintain school, trying to maintain, if they go to church, trying to maintain sports. Our kids have a lot of things that they have to juggle. And nothing new is under the sun, but different generations have to deal with different things. This generation now is all social media, all internet. The way that they live is putting their business out for the world to see. People don't care about arguments and problems, and, people say whatever, they do whatever. Our young people are really struggling with conflict resolution skills. So they turn to weapons, they turn to social media, they bully. It's almost like they don't know which way to go and they don't know which way to turn. We have to teach them to choose life. We have to show them by example that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We have to be the ones to show our young people the direction in which they should go. A long time ago, my mama taught me, okay, do as I say, not as I do. But the reality of it is that kids do what they see. Amen. So if you're talking like Pastor O said a long time, Pastor O, you're talking right, but you're walking left. Okay, you're saying the right things, but you're doing the opposite. Kids are going to do what they see. So we, as their examples, have the responsibility to make sure that we are walking in the way that teaches our young people to choose life. Amen. So this was not just a message for young people. It was a message for everyone. Our young folks are facing a lot today, and they need to know that social media and the example of their peers and what's going on in the internet is not their example. That's not who they should follow, and that is not where their identity lies. Their identity and who they are lies in Christ. Amen. And we have the obligation and responsibility. God has charged us with making sure that we do not lead kids in the wrong direction. Amen. So, Minister Shelley, again, thank you so much for the message that you brought to us, telling us all and reminding us all that we have choices every single day, all day, that we have to make. And we need to be making sure with the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we are always choosing. Amen. So thank you so much for that word that you brought to us today. We were absolutely blessed by it. Amen. So happy Saturday, everybody. It is the last Saturday, the fifth Saturday in the month of September. Time has truly gone by really, really fast, but God is good. And we are grateful. Amen. So just by way of some announcements, Sunday, October 1st, that's tomorrow, y'all, already. Christmas is in 2 weeks. Get your tree up. Get your decorations up. Just do Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, like, all right now, because that is literally how fast it's going to go. So just put all your decorations out at one time. My goodness. Amen. So tomorrow, Sunday, October 1st, we will have our Sunday school class beginning at 9 a.m. with our teacher assistant, Pastor Janice Tate. And then we will be continuing on with our praise team, leading us in songs and worship, and then going right into our service that begins at 10 a.m. Amen. Pastor O will be bringing the word on tomorrow, entitled Speaking in Tongues. Amen. So come on out and enjoy worship service with us. Amen. River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Amen. Amen. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., don't forget, Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., we are here on Blog Talk Radio with our Bible class. Of course, you need the textbook for the class. If you need one, just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and just click on the Bible Classes tab to purchase the book. Make sure to read the assignment before the class starts, and the questions are at the end of each chapter for discussion. Naomi Carter will be teaching this lesson this week entitled God Confirms Gideon's Mission. Amen. That's the lesson for this week. So make sure to get in your book, answer your questions, and call in and participate in the class. Amen? Amen. Every Friday, 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. Make sure to join in. Amen. And comment on the discussion that goes on about our young people. Amen. So as a new announcement, Pastor did mention this, I believe, last Saturday. Don't quote me. My days go by really fast. But I feel like I heard Pastor O mention this. And then I do have it to read as a new announcement. So listen up, y'all. Okay. Beginning on Monday, November 27th, you've got a little ways to go, but put this on your calendar. For Monday, November 27th, here on Blog Talk Radio, PM, we will have a new Bible class. Amen. And the class is entitled Biblical Giving. And it will be taught from Pastor O's book entitled Biblical Giving. Amen. So if you are a member of Running for Christ Ministries, email Pastor O and let him know that you need the book, which is, again, the book that you need for the class. So I'll be announcing this every Saturday between now and November 27th. Amen. So Monday, November 27th, 6 o'clock, got a new Bible class. It's going to be entitled Biblical Giving, based on Pastor O's book entitled Biblical Giving. Pastor O is probably going to be the teacher of his own book. Amen. So, again, if you need the book and you are a member of Running for Christ Ministries, obviously, let me say this. Let me clarify that. If you are a member of Running for Christ Ministries, email Pastor O for the book. But you do not only have to be a member of Running for Christ Ministries to participate in this class or in anything that we have on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Let me just make that clear. So even if you're not a member and you still want to participate in the class, make sure to go to our church website, rfcm.org, and reach out to Pastor O, or go to Pastor O's website, www.pastorgmo.com, and let him know that you need a book. Amen? Amen. Please remember, again, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free, and they are not just for Running for Christ Ministry members. I think the numbers have clearly proven that that is not the case. Amen. Pastor O called off last week a ton of countries and places where the word of God through our Blog Talk Radio services are going. Amen. So we are not just, it was true, well, Pastor O thought that when he brought on Blog Talk Radio that it was just going to be for us at Running for Christ Ministries who couldn't get to Bible classes and stuff after work. He had no idea at the time that our word was going to be getting, our Blog Talk Radio, Running for Christ Ministries, was going to be getting in the nooks and crannies of all over the earth, which is where God's word is supposed to go. Amen. So we are truly doing our job here and earning our treasure in heaven. Amen. So go to our church website, rfcm.org. Go through everything. Click on every tab. Click on every drop down. Click on everything and just familiarize yourself with what we got going on. We've got classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more, again, available all for free. Use it for what you need it for, but make sure that you're not keeping it to yourself and that you are sharing it with others. Amen? If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, rfcm.org, church website, click on tithes and offerings. If you would like to give a love offering for Minister Shelley, who brought that word today, please visit the church website, rfcm.org. Click on tithes and offerings. Remember to specify this is for Minister Lachelle Anderson, who told me to choose life. Amen. And I think on the website, too, it might have her Cash App listed on there. I think it's Cash App, maybe Zelle. There are some pastors who have other ways where you can give your love offering to them that's not through the church website. But if you don't want to go through all that, the church website, rfcm.org, is perfectly fine. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab and remember to specify that your love offering is for Minister Lachelle Anderson this week, and we will see to it that she receives it. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with her on today. I want to read, this is one of my favorite psalms, and I just want to read it. It's a reminder psalm to me. So I just want to read it. Amen. It's Psalm. We got a little time today. So it's Psalm 139. And I'm going to read it to you from the Message version because we are dealing with our youth today. So it reads as follows. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back, I am never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful, God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good. And you murderers, out of here. All the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap God imitation. See how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe all this godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Investigate my life, oh God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine me and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Amen. So that was, again, Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 through 24. And that is just a little reminder to all of our youth and our young people out there that are listening now, that are going to be listening in the future, or long after we here on Blog Talk Radio are gone. Amen. That God created you. He knows you. He sees you. And he is always with you. So no matter what is going on in your life, you are never alone. Amen. So we just want to ask continuous prayers on everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Amen. Continue to pray for Deaconess Mary Kate's sister. Continue to pray for Doris Gaither. Pray for all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Cheryl, Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Nico Gaston, Darius Freeman and his mom, Keela, Brother Ed Johnson and Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family, all those, again, in Maui, Hawaii. I saw some flooding. I wasn't in Brooklyn or New York or something. All types of stuff is underwater. We got floods, hurricanes, wildfires, earthquakes, all types of stuff happening in Morocco, Libya, all over the world, okay? These are... we say natural disasters, but they're disasters, okay, because we are very rich here in the United States. If we got insurance, if something happens, we can go, hey, run me my check. I can get my stuff back together, build this house back up, get me a car, do whatever I have to do. So many other countries, so many other people, that's just not a thing, okay? So we need to continue to pray for everyone who is being affected by these disasters that are happening. God is trying to get people's attention, amen. Okay, so continue to pray for all caregivers and nurses, doctors, those that serve in the medical field, those who are in nursing homes and in long-term care facilities as well as in hospice care, all the teachers, staff, students, everybody's in school, okay, doing something elementary to college. It don't matter if you're driving the bus, you're security, crossing guard, lunch lady, hall monitor, whatever, amen. Continue to lift them up in prayer. All of our leaders in our communities from local, amen, all the way up to Washington, our president, vice president, amen, pray for those who have the rule over you. Every year around this time, there's always talk of a federal government shutdown. Now, mind you, they got all year to figure out what they're going to do for the next year. And they always, at the last minute, like, you know, just focus on what's going on. See the big picture. It's hard to do sometimes, but you do have to just not focus on the small little things, because the enemy will use that, and he'll just have you going that crazy, okay? Focus on the big picture. If you put your thing, your circumstances, your situation next to God, it literally disappears. And we talked about casting our cares on him because he cares for you. He told us to do that. So when you cast something, you forcefully throw something. So if you're trying to get something off of you, you're going to be as forceful as you possibly can to get that thing up off of you. So bag it up and do whatever you got to do. Wind it up a couple times and forcefully cast that mess right onto Jesus' front porch. Okay, he'll go out there, he'll get it, and he'll work on it, and you will not have to go back and pick it back up. Amen. So just continue to pray for all of those who have the rule over us. Focus on the big picture. Continue to pray for all of your pastors and those who shepherd you. Amen. And as you follow them, as they follow Christ, amen, continue to keep them lifted up in your prayers, because that is a job that not a lot of people are called to do, but you got a whole lot of people standing in line wanting to do it because they don't understand what it is. So we are Running for Christ Ministries. We keep our pastors lifted up in prayer because we got to keep them sane. Amen. We got to keep them from going crazy. Amen. So continue to pray for all of your pastors and those who shepherd you as you follow them in their following of Christ. Amen. And we also want to ask that you please continue to pray for all who are mourning and grieving and bereaved in the loss of their friends and loved ones. And so we do want to say that special prayers go out to our own Deacon Eric Reed in the loss of his cousin, okay, young man, Mr. Kemp, 18 years old of E-Course, shot and killed unnecessarily. Amen. He deserved to live his life and to flourish, okay, but God has a purpose for everything that happens in this life, good and bad. Amen. So he will be funeralized today, if I'm not mistaken, the services are today. So just please keep his mother, his father, his family, his friends, the community, the school district, everyone lifted up in your prayers again. And along with the Alexander family and just so many others who are going through bereavement at this time. Amen. So it's the last day of Saturday. Last day of Saturday. I'm tripping, y'all. Last day of September. Saturday, the last day of September. So happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this entire month of September, or if you got yours in the last couple of days of this month. Happy birthday again to Brother Ed Johnson, Mother Persia, Dion, Deacon Ali, Deacon Charles Mackey, Deacon Charles Tate, Pastor O, Nakia, and Deaconess Kathy. All of them celebrated their birthdays this month at Running for Christ Ministries. And so we again say happy, happy birthday to you all. Amen. Last but not least is usually the favorite part of your announcement. Well, at least with Pastor O, amen. Your devotional for today. This is so, so good, because I was listening to Minister Shelley, and I was like, she's a little bit up in my devotional. But this whole service today has just been knit together so beautifully that, you know, of course I had to close with this type of devotional. And we don't get together and say, oh, yep, this is what you're going to say, this is what you're going to say. We are all in our separate places and spaces, and we all get on Blog Talk Radio at our time, and we do what we do, and it all comes together. Amen. So your devotional for today is entitled, and I love the title, Me-ology or Theology? Amen. Me-ology as in me-ology or theology. And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You guys know that I love his devotionals. And, yeah, it reads as follows. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. This is Psalm chapter 86, verse 5. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen. That is a popular little phrase that is quoted often in Christian circles. I really like that phrase, but here is the burning question. Do you and I really believe it? Is God really good all the time? Bad circumstances. When Paul and Silas preached the gospel in Philippi, a riot broke out. You want info on that? See chapter 16. Paul and Silas were deemed troublemakers. The incited crowd beat them repeatedly with rods and had them thrown into prison. The jailer confined them to the innermost part of the prison and put their feet in the stocks. Paul and Silas were beaten, bloodied, and bruised. Their bodies ached in pain as they languished in the prison. And why were they there? Had they done something wrong? No. They were there for doing right and obeying God's call. Yet this was the bad circumstances that befell them as a result of their obedience. Do we need to rethink that phrase, God is good all the time, when me-ology gets in the way? One of the big problems you and I face each day is the problem of inconsistency. Lord, help the children. I am the queen of consistently being inconsistent. Amen. The Bible tells us great and wonderful things about God and his care and concern for us. Yet when we review the circumstances of our own lives, we can easily start to question the truth of God's word. God, if you really are good and really care about me, then why do my loved ones die? God, if you really are good and really care about me, then why am I so lonely? God, if you are really good and really care about me, then why is my marriage so terrible? God, if you really are good and really care about me, then why am I suffering so much? Why is my life so hard and such a mess? God, if you really are good and really care about me, then why has all this bad come into my life? Give, God. Me-ology views the truth of God through the lens of our own personal circumstances. If you and I allow me-ology to determine our theology, God will not seem to be good all the time, nor will he seem to be a God who loves us with an everlasting love and who has wonderful plans for our lives. So knowing the truth, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's John chapter 8, verse 32. What is the truth? Regardless of what may be going on in our lives, God is good all the time, and he has a good plan for you and me. His word is true, and his promises are rock solid. He cares for us, so much so that Jesus died a brutal and excruciating death on the cross to pay the price of redemption for you and me. So back to Philippi. What did Paul and Silas do in their bad circumstances? Gripe, complain, quit? Nope. They prayed and sang hymns of praise to God. They trusted the good heart of God even in their bad circumstances. And God heard their prayers and sent an earthquake that opened the prison doors, and the jailer and his entire family ended up receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. Wow, what a miracle by the hand of a good and gracious God. Brothers and sisters, no matter what you may be facing today or what has happened in your past, do not allow your me-ology to determine and derail your theology. God works in ways you and I cannot understand. He allows hardships to befall us, not because he does not care, but because he has a higher plan and purpose. You can trust God in any and every situation. He really is good all the time. And he really does care for you and I. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements. Low-key, that was a for-real sermon. Pass two offering baskets and get some lines together because I know $20 is somewhere. Somebody got a couple $20 lines. Get it together. Amen. Because I'm tired now. Hey.
Two offers. Say even before they get the first one up and say, okay, that ain't enough for this preacher. We need a little bit more.
Run it again. Run
and then say, we can't pay for the message, but we need a little bit more to pay the preacher for the message.
Hey, run it again.
You know, that cuts in goodly perfectly with choose goodly. That perfectly
good
with choose
Lord
life.
Jesus.
You know, when she rung that bell, I'm telling you, every time somebody come up at First Fruit Living Ministries when we're out there giving out lunches and things, every time somebody rededicates or somebody accepts Christ as Savior, the bell gets rung. And that's awesome. It reminds me of, what is that, The Good Life or something? Where every time the bell rings, the angel gets his wings.
Angels, I hear that bell. A wonderful life.
Right.
Yep.
Angel gets his wings.
Every time I hear that bell, I know somebody just got saved or rededicated their life to Christ, and that's the whole thing, right? That's the whole mission.
I wonder what that sounds like in heaven.
Exactly.
The rejoicing and the happiness that goes on when someone gives their life to Christ. I can just imagine the celebration that goes on up in there. Lord, have mercy.
Choose life. You know, I loved it when she was talking about, because you know how we get mad at people who keep on, as far as we're concerned, they keep on sinning. They ain't listening to our calls to come to Christ. They're not listening to our calls to live better for Christ. But I love it when she said, keep on praying. It reminded me of the Father in Luke chapter 15, where no matter what thoughts may have come to his mind every day, he kept choosing the life of his son. He kept believing his son was coming back home. He chose life, and his son came home. And guess what he said? My son was dead, okay, but now he's back to life. Look, but, you know, I was just going all kinds of crazy when she was preaching, because the word of God kept popping up in me here, popping up in me there. And then, of course, you come with the ice and put it right on the cake.
Lord.
Choose life.
Lord.
Choose life.
Lord,
amen.
Have mercy. Amen.
I just thank her for her for realness, that she is not fake. Every time you see her, that is her. That is not preach
is
talk or preach, you know, I'm preaching now, I got to be a different person. No, that's her. That's the real deal. And guess what?
That's
they're celebrating 10 years. 10 years
that
of passing out lunches.
Ten years of listening to God.
I
remember when
God.
She preached the last time. She talked about people say, "Oh, you still out there passing out them little sandwiches?" I mean, 10 years later, yep, still passing out little sandwiches and getting people saved and rededicated. Amen. Okay.
Amen. Amen. And that is why Rise to Christ Ministries happily supports First Fruit Living Ministries, because they're out there showing some real street love. And this is real. You should see the people who come up, the people who get lunches, the people who get all kinds of things. And everything is free.
Everything is free.
And there's no judgment. It's a no judgment zone, no matter what they come up smelling like. And some of them come up smelling like this stuff. But there's no judgment.
That's right.
There's only love. And it works. Because you and the bus driver, Lord have mercy, he caught the Holy Spirit one day and started preaching to the people on the bus.
See?
And it was just so he caught right there in front of the church. This stuff is real. And I was like, Jesus, this is real. This is Book of Acts stuff right here.
I hope he was in park.
And he just, you could see the Holy Spirit just hit him. And he turned around and started preaching to the people, and everybody got lunches and Bibles and prayer.
That's awesome.
And that's the real thing. We had to miss it this Wednesday, last Wednesday, because we was up in Mackinac, but God Almighty, that's the real work. I know. I'm looking forward to the next fourth Wednesday. Every fourth Wednesday, y'all, get a chance, come out and experience the Book of Acts in action. Amen.
In action, Amen.
Yes, you know how they say nobody thought that anything they had was their own, but they shared everything and had everything in common with those who were in need. That's what happens. You get a chance to see that. So, anyway, Chris, I'm preaching. So, but it's her fault.
Yeah, I think we all are
Minister
today.
Lachelle,
we all are.
Minister Lachelle did all of this, so we just blame her for
all of
that.
Yes, and the only person brave enough to come on Blog Talk Radio and sing that's not a song that's already recorded. Bless her heart. Nobody else is brave enough to come on here live.
I got a song in my heart.
Uh-uh. No,
wait
Jesus
a minute, Jesus forgot something to say. Oh, Jesus say, keep it there.
Hello.
Wow, you know you sing bad when the Lord be like, hey, just keep it in your heart. Just keep it in your heart.
I can hear it in there, too. It's all good. Everybody don't need that.
One time I told the Lord, I say, they tell me in church that everybody sound good. He said,
Nobody tells you that.
See, exactly.
Nobody says that.
She could see She ain't trying to sing. She ain't fooling me.
No.
She can sing. She can sing. Yeah.
Yes, she can. Beautiful voice.
Yes,
beautiful, 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 beautiful. Inside and out. But we thank God for her. Amen.
Amen. Obedient and beautiful person who will preach whatever God give her. And not scared of what people are going to think. But, wow, look at this.
Nope.
Ain't nobody tuned out. They still listening. But anyway, Crystal, thank you.
Amen. You're welcome.
Tell Amir I said, hey, what's up?
I sure will.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we thank God for each and every one of you who tune in every single Saturday, just like Deaconess Kathy Clyburn says. I want to thank Assistant Pastor Janice Tate for the awesome teaching. You know, I get so much out of her class, and I thank God for it, that I'm surrounded. He has surrounded me with people who can bless me with a word from him and with a teaching from him. I'm learning something new about, you know, the tomb and those spices that they anointed him with. It was the hurry-up decay. But the point is, his body did not see decay, even though they put the stuff on him. But he still came out of there whole and intact. So I thank God for her, for Deaconess Clyburn, for the awesome kids, Hunter and Harley, for their mom and pop, James and Sarah. And we thank God for them. Amen. As well. Amen. So, and everybody who was involved, even the altar caller, their mother, youth pastor at our church, Sarah Tate McClendon, awesome woman of God. Amen. Is and becoming all the time. So we thank God for each and every one of you. And again, those who want to take part in the class that's coming up November 27th, if you're a member of Running for Christ Ministries, so that people don't say I'm trying to make money off the members by selling them my book for a class, you get the book for free. But I need you to email me. Okay, go to PastorGMO.com, click on contact, and email me and let me know you need the book. Okay? And for those of you who regularly visit Running for Christ Ministries, a lot of y'all already had a book. For those of you who don't, you can get it for free. Okay? It'll be on me and my wife. Amen. But those of you who regularly visit Running for Christ Ministries at least once or twice a month, okay, the book is free for you too. All you have to do is request it. You have to request it so I know how many to order so they can be here on time for you. So let me know. Don't assume because I'm a pastor, I know. Okay? Sometimes Jesus works on a need-to-know basis. This is that basis. I need to know you need the book, and you can get it for free. All you got to do is let me know. Okay, email me. If you see me in church, let me know. See my wife, let her know. Amen. Let one of us know you need the book. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. We thank God for each and every one of you. I cannot thank God enough for the preacher, who was kind enough to allow Runner for Christ Ministries to partner with her, First Fruit Living Ministries, amen, to show some street love to the people. And I'm telling you, you got to experience it. If you want to see what the book of Acts was like, come out 1/4 Wednesday. We start at 10 with the setup, and then we start passing out lunches and stuff at 11 o'clock. And trust me, she is not on CP time. She is on Jesus time. So she starts on time. She quits on time. Amen. She's not like me. She don't run over like I'm doing right now. So anyway, God bless you. God keep you. Again, I found a fun little song. It's by Tripp Lee. And since this is Youth Saturday, where we allow the youth to be involved, okay, I got this song. It's by Tripp Lee. It's called Stand By. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you when we see you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until all of us meet again, the whole church that's listening now or in the future says, Amen.
slow to slaughter. Am I trusting while I'm coming? Kinda sorta. But you got good news for me, send me more reporters. Keep, gotta keep, keep. When my head is down, I can't see. Forward vision pixelated when I eat it HD. Selling never gave me to the prison's port like Haiti. I believe Iraqi sees when they give way to safety. Save me from wandering through deserts. I've been grumbling and angry. Can't breathe. I got way more on my plate than I can take us eating meal. And I know you got new mercies for me daily. Gotta re-up and it's time to tell the enemy to stand down. When they ask who got it, put my head down. Tell me what I need with worry. When my help come in a hurry, why be scared of them when you can make them scurry? I wake up early just to
stand by. He can lift your burdens when your hands tied. Step outside, close your eyes, let them shed you. I feel alive when I hide, cause I'm made to. Hey, now, stand by. He can lift your burdens when your hands tied. Step outside, close your eyes, let them shed you.
Uh-huh.
I feel alive when I hide, cause I'm made to.
Broken, I be honest, I go supersonic. If they promise all the peace, I'm trying to grab it, I can find it. I go rally like I'm Brownie honest. Can't nobody block it. I've been climbing in this current climate, trying to find a rocket. Bank deposits, mixing gin and tonic, filling up my pocket. If they got it, I promise I tried it. That's why I can knock it. Hit the mile or the supermarket, asking do they stack it. I just need a piece of power. Where the